All right, we're starting a little series on the Bible, living by the book, as we get ready for the new year. Excuse me, as we get into the new year, the importance of the Bible in our lives. Some of the verses there you'll see on your sheet. Matthew 4:4, of course, this is Christ responding to the temptation of Satan. And he said, but he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Christ used, by the way, Christ in his temptation, he used the word of God to defeat Satan. 1 Peter 2:2 tells us the importance of the Bible in helping us to grow. You see the verse there. It says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." If you're a new Christian, it's just the same as a newborn babe, as they desire that their mother's milk to grow, we ought to desire the Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing that is going to help us grow in the truth. Let's pray tonight. We'll get started. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. We do think of our pastor tonight. We pray you continue to be with him and his family, Lord. Give him healing, Lord, and bring him back to his family very, very soon, Lord. Bless now the Bible study tonight. May you encourage us to get into the Word of God. May this next year be a year where, as a church family, like never before, we get into God's Word and we make it a regular, daily practice in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're already seated. As we mentioned, the Bible here is the key to us being the Christian that we ought to be. The Bible is where we learn everything God has for us and everything that God wants from us. And so as Christians, it's vitally important that the Bible is not just something we carry around. The Bible is just not something we say we believe, but the Bible is something that is a vital part of our life each and every day. Now, last week we looked at the benefits of the Bible, the many, many benefits that come in our lives as Christians from the Word of God. Now, we also gave some statistics last week as to how many people truly read their Bible on a regular or fairly regular or a daily basis. And really, to be honest with you, it's atrocious. It's not very good. And so now we don't want that to be true of our church. We want to make sure that we're getting in the Bible. We don't just carry it around. A lot of people don't read their Bibles because they don't really think about the reasons that they should. And if we are not regular getting in our Bible, we are robbing ourselves of really all the resources, all the encouragement, all the correction, everything we need. We're robbing ourselves of those things if we don't get in the Bible. Someone has told us, I heard a quote I read from someone that says, "God loves us the way we are, but he loves us too much to have us stay that way." Okay? And by the way, that's just modern-day Christianity. Oh, come as you are. Yeah, okay. And that's usually where it stops, too. That's not what God has for us. As we get in the Word of God, we find out what God has for us, and God changes us and molds us and makes us into what he wants us to be. And I would encourage you very, very strongly as we get into next year, if you have never done it, read your Bible next year. Now, you can start now, okay? You don't have to wait till next year. But I'm guessing if you haven't done it very much in 2 weeks, you're not going to get there. But make it a goal at least for next year to regularly get in God's Word. Okay? If you've gotten in God, man, I did it this year. I read through my Bible for the first time. Hey, you know what you ought to do? You ought to strive for maybe read through it a couple times next year. But whatever it is, you need to be in your Bible on a daily basis. Now, I want to look at this for two reasons. Look at number one on your sheet there. Reasons why we don't read our Bibles. Let me just give you some reasons people give. Some of them are really lame. Really, all of them are lame, but some lamer than others. Look at Exodus chapter 9 verse there. This is the story of course, the 10 plagues, and this is one of the plagues, and there's a little something I want to pull out of there. It's Exodus chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. It says, "Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even unto now." So there was going to be a strong rain, a hail, that stronger than anything they'd ever seen. "Send now, therefore, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and every beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. It was going to be so strong that if they got caught, it was going to literally kill them. And he's saying, hey, I'm giving you some warning. Get out, and get yourself some protection. Next verse, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle to flee into houses. And he that regarded not the word of the God of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Those, even among the Egyptians who feared God's word and kind of saw what some of the things that maybe were going on, said, we better listen to him or else our cattle are going to die. If we're out there, we can die, or our servants are going to die. And so they brought them all in before this hail. Those that did not regard the word of God left them out there and suffered the consequence. Now, one of the things in our society we see, there is a total disregard for the word of God. Just a disregard. By the way, it used to be a long time ago, even people that maybe weren't even Christians or churchgoers had a regard for the word of God. They may not have been saved. Look, Thomas Jefferson, one of our founding fathers, he was not a Christian by any stretch of the imagination, but he had a regard for the principles of God's word. That used to be the norm in our society. Now, there is no regard for the word of God. We have so much politically correct nonsense going on in this country. If you say something, you're censored. Or it's intolerant. Or it's hate speech. That's a bunch of garbage. Truth is truth and right is right. And it doesn't matter what someone else thinks or says. What does God say? Now, we're not out trying to be mean or spiteful or hateful. But if God says it and someone doesn't like it, tough luck. Their problem is not with us. Their problem is with God. But see, now we live in a society where we back up. We're afraid to say anything. Okay? And that's just where we're at. And now the church doesn't even have a regard for the word of God. We'll just focus in on love. Love. Wonderful. You can't love something unless you hate that which would destroy it. It just doesn't make any sense. But we just want to be politically correct. We have... Really, if we just boil it down, there's just no regard for God's word. Most people live like practical atheists. We say we're Christians. We say we believe the Bible. We say we want to be obedient to God, but there's really no difference between us and someone who doesn't know God or doesn't know the word of God. There's no difference. So in all reality, we're practical atheists. We say, oh, we believe in prayer. We don't pray. Oh, I believe it. We don't do it. And so we don't want to be like that. We want to have a regard for the word of God. What's the best way to tell if we really have that kind of respect and regard for God's word? Well, here it is. It's very simple. Here's the test. Do you read it? Oh, I believe it, and I carry it, and I got a black one too. That's the fundamentalist Bible, black. Okay? And it says Holy Bible right on the side. You see that? That's nice. But you know, inside the covers are a lot of good stuff. Oh, but you don't understand. I have a King James Bible. You're good. You reading it? Okay, you might as well have a little pony Bible. Okay, I remember one of the first Bibles I read, other than the NIV, which was a huge mistake after I got right with God, I read a cartoon Bible. Okay, that's about what most of the Bibles have nowadays anyhow. Listen. Believe the right Bible, but read it. If we don't read it regularly, for all intents and purposes, we have no regard for it. And as Christians, if there's anything that we ought to have a regard for, we ought to have a regard for God's word. Let me give you some reasons why we don't read it. Letter A, we don't like what it says. We don't like what it says. By the way, do I always like what I read in the Bible? No. Is it true? Yes. Does it matter how I feel about it? No. Got to obey it. Got to obey it. I remember when the church was over on Anaheim, someone was preaching and they got up and said something. It wasn't some life-shattering thing, but they said something. It was some principle, you know, and I hadn't heard the principle. I'm like, well, that sounds good. I don't believe it, but it sounds good. And they said, now flip your Bibles over this verse. And they flipped over that verse, and I'm like, Sure enough, it said what they said. I'm like, hold on. I've read that many times. Let me get that one more time. I'm like, it's right there. No, I guess I believe it now. Okay? It's true. But sometimes people don't, I don't like what it, when I read the Bible, I get, you know, I read stuff that bother me. Well, if the Bible is the key to growth, to grow we must change. We don't like change. Okay? We don't like change. No one likes change. Okay? You've heard the joke, you know, how many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? Change? Who said anything about change? Okay? We don't like to change. But you know what? If you don't change, you don't grow. I remember when I got right with God as a teenager, there was a whole lot of stuff that had to change. If I would not have changed some of those things, I would have stopped right at the very beginning for growing and becoming the Christian that God would want me to be. And I still have to go. We're never going to get there. 2 Corinthians 3:18 on your sheet. But we all, speaking about the scripture, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we look into the scripture with open hearts, wanting to do what God says, we see God's glory, what he wants, and through his Spirit, if we put some effort in, we'll become that which he wants us to become. But if we're not looking to the Word of God, we're not going to see that. You see, we spiritually sometimes we try to hide our head in the sand. It's like, do you ever see these on the news or whatever where they'll have somebody's giving a speech or some politician is goes somewhere and he's got a message that's unpopular and there'll be a crowd that'll go in there and they'll try to shout him out. As soon as they get up to speak, they'll start heckling and saying things so he cannot give his point of view. They don't want to hear the truth. Now, they call us intolerant, but they just don't want to hear the truth, so we'll just yell and scream, and we'll disrupt you. Well, if you're not afraid of what they're saying, why would we need to disrupt them? Don't be afraid of what God has for us. As we looked on Sunday, we mentioned the verse, his commandments are not grievous, okay? Obeying the Bible is not restrictive. It's actually liberating. So we already make up in our mind what we want to do and how we want to live. And we don't want anybody telling us differently. I remember years ago, we had a lady in our Sunday school class, and after church, I was in the back, you know, shaking hands with people, and she was having a hard time in her marriage, and she goes, you know, I've been praying about this, and God gave me the answer. He wants me to divorce my husband. I'm like, really? She goes, yeah, I already found somebody else. And I'm like, you know, that's not God. You can pray about it all you want. That's not God. No, you don't understand. I prayed about it. Did you ever read about it? Okay? If you read what God says, you don't need to pray about it. Just do it. Okay? You don't need a special anointing. You don't need the Spirit of God to lead. If God says it, do it. God won't be upset with you. But that's what we are. We usually see what we want to see. Or we ignore what we don't want to see so we can do what we want to do. Ignoring God's truth doesn't change it or make it less responsible or make us less responsible for it. And so why do we not read the Bible? Sometimes we just don't like what it says. Letter B, because, and this is a good thing that becomes a bad thing, because we substitute what we hear at church for it. We substitute what we hear at church for it. In other words, we think that all we need is what we hear at church. What we hear and learn at church is no substitute for a personal, vital relationship with God. In fact, it ought to push you to God. Okay, don't think, well, you know, I get everything I need at church. And by the way, that we're supposed to be at church is not even an issue. You see the verses there in Hebrews. We're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Forsake means to abandon. And by the way, people are now abandoning the church. There was a guy who used to write church growth books about do this, do that. And by the way, his methods didn't work, and it created a worldly church. And now he comes back and says, well, maybe we shouldn't go to church. Let's just meet in houses. That's a bunch of nonsense. Okay, don't try to improve upon God's plan. God's plan is for his people to get together. God's plan is to encourage and strengthen each other and go out and reach their area for the Lord Jesus Christ. But church is important. The church is not man's idea. It's God's idea. But just because we come to church and just because we even practice our four to flourish and come to all the services, it doesn't mean that I don't need to read my Bible. You're not going to get enough in the church services to make it. Okay? It's like a car like gliding downhill. Eventually, you're going to get to the bottom of the hill. You're going to run out of gas. You need to personally get in God's Word. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 on your sheet there. It says, blessed is he that readeth and hear the words of this prophecy and keep these things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Special blessing for reading and knowing the book of Revelation. You can apply it to the Word of God. We have to read it, get in it, hear it taught, and we have to do what it says. Don't substitute what we hear at church. How many of you only eat? Does anybody here eat on a weekly basis, Monday through Sunday? You only eat four meals or less. Raise your hand. Anybody? And most of you say, by the Filipinos, like, hey, we do that every day. Okay? Man, when they eat, they eat. You go over to their house, it's like, whoa, that's like a 12-course meal. I'm in. Okay? No. Say, that's ridiculous. You'd starve. Okay? Well, if you don't read your Bible and come to church, you're getting Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, four times. It's not enough. Can't substitute it. Okay? You need to get in God's Word yourself. You don't substitute one for the other. Here's one some people use, letter C. They believe that it's too long. It's too big. It's too much. By the way, that's why you don't sit down and say, okay, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to start. I should be done in an hour or two. Okay, now I'm pretty sure Reader's Digest will come out with a Bible like that soon. They might as well not listen to the rest of it, but it's not too long. That's why it takes you a while to get through it. Daily chip away at it. Get some nourishment from it each and every day. By the way, it's not a speed reading contest either. And I know some people are like, you know, I read 40 chapters a day, and that's fine. That's great. Okay? Now, personally, if I read 40 chapters a day, I wouldn't get a lot out of it. I read the amount I read so I can get something out of it and spend some time in it and learn from it. God wants us to get in it and get something out of it. But the problem isn't the length. It's really our interest level. The length is just an excuse. Remember years ago when the Harry Potter books were really popular, all that nonsense, okay? You remember people when they would get when the books would come out for sale? I remember one time my wife and I were having a date night, so we stopped in at Barnes & Noble, get some coffee, look at a couple books, and we were in there, and it was like, you know, the Harry Potter book was coming out at midnight on Friday or something. People were going to start lining up and getting ready to buy it, and then they'd sit there and read it right away. Well, the first Harry Potter book was 309 pages. The fourth one was 434 pages. One of the last ones written was 870 pages. Now, the people online weren't saying, it's too long. Can't read it. It's a matter of interest. The reason we don't sit down and read our Bible is because we're not interested enough in it to make time for it. Okay? And this year, I want you to make some time for it. Reading through the Bible isn't like our diet plan. By the way, New Year's resolutions are coming. Now, I know how it works. Man, I need to lose weight, and I am disgusted with myself, so I'm not going to eat for a week. I'm going to get off to a good start. That's a brilliant plan. You ought to write a book about it, the no eating diet, okay? You know, that come about lunchtime that first day, you might make it past lunch. When you get home, you're going to dive into a pizza. You're just not going to get there, okay? And you get discouraged because you didn't. I'm going to read 50 chapters today. I got to catch up. I haven't been reading my Bible. I'm going to read through 100 times next year. And then the first day you only read 30 chapters, and now you're 20 behind. Then the next day you got to read 70. And I'm just not even a ridiculous number like that. But we fall behind. Hey, listen, get in it every day, okay? Get in it and complete it through the year at least. The goal is not just getting through it, but to get something out of it. You say, but I don't understand all of it. You know, the key to the Bible is the more you get in it, the more you learn, the more that you'll get out of it. It's not like a regular book. You read a book, you get a book and you read it and say, oh, I learned something, that was a good book, and you set it down. You don't need to read that one again because there's another book to read. But the Bible you can read it over and over and over, and you'll see something in it that you didn't see the time before. Because God feels at that time, you need that. Okay, it's inexhaustible. I've read it through hundreds, probably a couple hundred times in my Christian life, maybe. Yeah, probably a couple hundred. 30 years, 30 whatever years. I'll read a verse tomorrow, it's like, I didn't see that. I remember I was reading the verse where, and I know I've read it over and over and over over the years, where God was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he talked, in one of the verses he said, he took them a certain way so that they wouldn't face this group of people because he knew that they would get fearful of them. So he took them another way because they weren't ready for it. And I thought, man, I've read that so many times and I didn't get that. That's a good principle. God was going to get them ready to fight earlier, later, but they weren't ready right now. That's what we do with newer Christians. You know, hey, we're not ready for some certain things. But keep growing. You'll get there. Letter D. We believe the Bible isn't relevant to my life. We believe the Bible isn't relevant. Now, the word relevant is misused. You hear a lot from churches like, come to our church, it's relevant. Well, depends on what you mean by relevant. What the newer churches have done is they've taken the word relevant, and what they mean is we're going to make the Bible, we're going to make our church fit in with the culture. We're going to make our church relevant to the culture. By the way, that's not Bible. That's worldliness. Relevant means the Bible speaks to the issues of life. That's what it means by relevant. In other words, all the issues of life you're going to face, the Bible speaks to those things. God has something to say about it. That's what relevant is. But we don't see it as that. It is relevant. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain, and he mentions two areas, unto life and godliness. Godliness, I believe, is our spiritual life, and life is our some of the regular things of life. By the way, most people don't know how to deal with their finances. You know, the Bible talks about finances, okay? And many issues like that. The Bible speaks to those issues. How come we don't know them? Because we don't get in the Bible. We don't believe the Bible can really help me in all of these areas of my life. So what we want to do is we want to, if we want to fit the church to the culture, we think of messages that the unsaved culture would like. Okay? And we try to bring it down to their level. No, we're supposed to teach the Word of God, go out and reach people with the gospel, get them in, and let the Word of God transform their lives. Another reason we don't read it, letter E, is because it's just not a priority in my life. And really, that's the bottom line. The deal is we don't find time for the Bible, we make time for the Bible. It's amazing. You know, I just don't have time, but if there's something you want to do, you can be as busy as all get out. It's like, hey, let's go fishing. I think I can squeeze that in. Why? You like to fish. Okay. Well, let's do this. Oh, that's something I want to do? I can figure that one out. I'll get some time for that. Whatever's important for us, we schedule it, and we make sure we can do it. If the Bible is important to us, we are going to make or find a time somewhere where we can get in the Word of God undisturbed on a daily basis. If it's a priority. Eating's a priority. So there's certain times you know you're set aside. Hey, lunchtime. I'm going to go eat. It's time. We're here. Let's go. Okay, well, what about the Bible? Let's make time for the Bible. And by the way, something is not a priority just because we say it is. That's what we call lip service. Oh, you're important to me. You never spend time with them. You never do anything for them. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Unfaithful to church. Unfaithful to this. Don't do that. That's just lip service. Try that with your wife and see how that works. Okay? It won't work very far, and you'll be sleeping on the couch. Look at Psalms chapter 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that what? Seek him with the whole heart. When we seek something, we're seeking it because it's a priority. We want it. We got to have it. And he used his whole heart. Psalm 119, 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Not half-hearted. This is important. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Psalm 119, verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. It's who I am. It's what I. It's a passion to me. I'm giving it my all. When it is, it's a priority. I was reading a book one time. They gave an illustration. There was some men fighting in Vietnam, and they were prisoners. And they said one of the first things they did when they got caught and they were put in a horrible camp, they found some scraps of paper and they were able to find an old pencil to write on. The very first thing they did is they said any verses from the Bible they could remember, they started writing them down. Why? Because they said, we need them. We got to have them. We need comfort. When something's a priority, you make time for it. So those are some of the reasons we don't read our Bible. Now, let me give you some reasons why we should read our Bible. There are so many good reasons. By the way, it's not a waste of time. It's not a meaningless discipline. And by the way, sometimes we don't get something out of it because we're just trying to get through it. Oh, man, I'm in a hurry today. Let me grab that again and let me speed read it. You know? Oh, yeah, I got it. Check it off. We're done. Okay? No. Take some time. Read it. Ask God to help you get something out of it. And pay attention. So let me give you some reasons why you should. Letter A, you gain confidence in times of confusion. And by the way, we live in a confusing time. Look at Jeremiah. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. By the way, Jeremiah was not a popular guy. He was telling them, hey, the Babylonians are coming. They're going to fight against us, and we're not going to win. Here's what God wants you to do. Surrender. If you surrender and don't fight, your life will be spared. But if you fight, it's not going to turn out good for you. Now, that didn't go over very well. Can you imagine? Saying, hey, God's already determined this. You're done. Judgment's coming. It's over. Don't fight. Everything's going to be fine. If you fight, not going to be good. Well, he wasn't real popular. When Jeremiah, verse 16, was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. Then Zedekiah the king sent, this guy was a character, and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? Now here's a king. Here's a guy they didn't like. They grab him. He's in this horrible condition. King Zedekiah sneaks him out. Says, hey, now. Does God have anything to say? Well, God already had a lot to say. Zedekiah didn't want to listen. And Jeremiah said, there is, for, said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Yeah, that was a good message. Yeah, you know what? God does have something to tell you. Get the handcuffs ready. You're going. By the way, it didn't turn out very well for Zedekiah. But here he was. He was all confused. And he was going through a difficult time. And here's the guy that was arrested, but who does he go to when he wants help? Jeremiah. But he didn't have the guts to listen to what he had to tell him. There would have been comfort there, and things would have went better for him if he'd have listened. But he had no intentions of listening. Maybe he thought, you know, maybe Jeremiah's changed his mind by now. No, God didn't change his mind. Now, for those of us that want to listen to God, there is comfort in the Bible. There's always comfort in obedience. Whenever we follow what God says, yet there is word from God. We don't have to live on our own. We don't have to be like Eve, who basically lived and made decisions based on her own senses. We have a God who gave us his word and tells us exactly what to do when things are going tough and to trust in him. You say, then why am I so stressed? Why do I struggle with things? How much time do you spend in God's word? The less time you spend, the harder things look. The more time you spend, the stronger your faith, the easier it is to say, God's in control. God knows what's going on. Things are going to be okay. Let me just do what he says. We gain confidence in times of confusion. Letter B, we gain protection from the attacks of our enemy. We have an enemy, Satan, and our flesh, and the world. And how do you get protection from all that nonsense? Word of God. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set you free here. It says make you free. Process. Oh, I'm set free. You know, I'm a Christian. I got saved. I got set free. I know, but if you go back into the world, you'll get right back into the bondage and the nonsense. Okay? Follow God's word, and he will make you free. John 17:17. Sanctify them. We've talked about that. Through thy truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. How are we set apart? How do we live the life God wants us to live on this earth with all the enemies and all the nonsense? God's word sanctifies us. And then Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We learn the armor of God, and so we know how to appropriate it and put it on, and we know how to face the attacks of our enemy. We get the strength we need. Madeleine Murray O'Hare, the famous atheist who in the 60s went to court and had Bible reading and prayer basically kicked out of our school system. And by the way, if you've ever seen the graphs of the crime in the schools and the teen pregnancy and all every single one, if you look when they took out of the school, the chart, all that stuff starts going up very progressively. We kick out of the school, and then we blame God for what's going on in our country. Well, you kicked them out. Okay? We didn't want them anymore. Man, she said this. She said, I'll tell you why Christians are afraid of me. They are not sure what they really believe is really true. If they were sure, I would be no threat to them at all. By the way, you meet some atheist or something, and you're a little bit timid, like, oh no, they're going to give me this argument I can't answer. Listen, if you just know what the Bible says and believe the Bible, you have nothing to be fearful of. We believe in the beginning, God created the earth. That makes sense. Creation equals creator. Okay? If something's created, there had to be somebody to create it. Very simple. They believe that nothing created everything. That's a pretty tough argument. Okay? They believe in the Big Bang. So do I. God spoke it into existence, and bang, here it came. They believe nothing, and then all of a sudden, bang! Wow, how'd that happen? We can't explain it, it just happened. That makes perfect sense, okay? It makes more sense to believe that. By the way, it takes faith for everybody, but their faith is blind. When Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 was tempted by Satan, how did he defeat Satan? He didn't jump up on some log and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, get out of here. No. It is written. Didn't argue with him. And by the way, he could have. Satan misquoted scripture. He just said, you know, it's written. It's written. It's written. Three it's written. Satan had to go. It was time. Okay? The reason we can't say when those kind of temptations come our way, it is written. It is written. It is written. It's because we don't know what's written. You know, we would have to say, if we're honest, I have heard. I think. Maybe. And then we get all twisted like Eve. But if we're in our Bible every day. You see, if we get in the Bible, we understand our enemy's purpose. And we understand his plan. In 2 Corinthians, the Bible tells us, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan has a very simple plan. He always has worked it out. His main doctrine is he wants you just to do what you want, to be your own God. That's all he wants. That's his doctrine. That's what he believes. And as long as you're doing your own thing, apart from God, you're on his side. His plan also in temptation is James chapter 1:14. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. How does he tempt us? With that area with which we have a desire. That area in our life, maybe that if we got saved later on in life, it was something harder for us to give up, and there's still that kind of desire there, that's where Satan's going to pick at us, because he knows. But we don't know Satan's plan or purpose if we're not regularly in his word. Letter C, reason we ought to read the Bible, we gain insights on our thoughts. Insights. Let me read these verses and let me explain. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We get that from his word. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your what? Remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. And then Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Look, the battle is fought in the mind. If we are going to live right, we have got to think right. And if we are going to think right, we have to think God's truth. And if we're going to think God's truth, it comes from God's word. If his word is in our mind, now we have the ammunition we need to make it and make the right decisions. We are so biblically ignorant that we forfeit any chance of thinking right. Okay? It's sad that cults know what they believe more than Christians know what they believe. And their beliefs are false. Fact of the matter is, most of them know what we believe even more than we know what we believe. Okay? I'll joke with the guys in the college sometimes, jokingly. Say, what's the difference between a Mormon in their white shirt and one of our boys in their white shirt? The Mormon knows what he believes. Okay? We got to know what the Bible says. We got to know what we believe. If we don't know what we believe, we're going to be messed up in our thoughts. And we lose the battle in our mind, we're going to lose the battle in our actions, because what is up here eventually comes out here. How a person acts is really related to how they think. That's why we're so ignorant. Oh, it doesn't matter the music. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter the words. We're just listening to the music. No, the words teach. That's why when they try to teach kids something in school, they'll put it to a song. Last year, when I was off a few days at Christmas, you know, my wife has these kids in the daycare, and she had a couple daycare kids there, and they're watching ABCs. And these kids are mesmerized by this stupid video of ABCs. But it was like, the little song. I ain't going to sing it, because that would scare you. I remember Emily, when she was probably barely speaking, I know she was less than two, she knew her ABCs. Why? She had this little toy, and it was like a headache, and she would push it, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, dun, 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 and the song, and she'd push it 40 times in a row, click, dun, 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 dun. I was like, you're killing me, all right? Brain cells are dying every time you play that song, doop, 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 and then she could sing it. I taught her name before she was two. You got to learn how to spell your name, okay? How many of you know that song, There Is a Dog, and Bingo Was His Name? We just changed the words. There was a girl who loved her dad. Emily was her name. E-M-I-L-Y, E-M-I-L-Y. After a few times, how do you spell your name? She'd go, E-M-I-L-Y. She knew it. Okay? Listen, if you're listening to that nonsense and it's getting in your mind, oh, it's just, no. It's teaching you something. All the things you listen to, all the things you watch, all that nonsense is getting to your mind, it's getting thoughts, and if you let that stuff stay in there and you don't cleanse it out and you don't get the truth of God's word in there, it's going to come out in how you live. It's got to. Okay? When someone goes out and does something horrific or sins or does something wrong, you realize there was a long process of wrong thinking before they ever did the wrong action. It starts in the mind. And so if we get in God's word, you know, oh, you Christians, you're just trying to brainwash people. Guilty. Our brains are dirty. There's so much junk out there, it needs to be cleaned. Okay? Like you wash your little child because, you know, they're out playing in the dirt and they stink and they smell and they got dirt everywhere. Our minds are just living in the world. You just so much stuff that flies by, we need to clean it out and get the truth of God's word. It kills our morals. Letter D, speaking of morality, we gain conviction about morality. We gain conviction about morality. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your choices are, you're either going to be conformed to the world or you're going to be transformed. Conform means pressed into a mold. You ever see the world? It's hilarious. We're going to be different, just like everybody else. some off-the-wall hairstyle, and some of you kids jump in on it. Something's all out there. I got to jump in on that because I want to be different, just like everybody else. If you, some of you wear your pants so tight, you're going to, don't bend over. Really. It's like, where'd that, you know, I mentioned, you know, I needed a pants for, I think we're going on vacation, so I want to get a couple pairs of Levi's. It used to be easy. You walk in, there were Levi's, you got your size, you walked out. We go into Kohl's, and it's like, there's 75,000 different brands. They all have different numbers. They all have different looks. Some are tight, some are, I'm like, are you serious? Whatever happened to Levi's right there, there's the size, you buy them. You're not careful, you get these ones, you put them on, it's like, oh, I can't talk. Okay, by the way, guys, you don't look good when you wear those things. You look silly. That's free. Which is garbage. Where do you get that from? Well, you know, I was walking to the mall, and I saw this picture of some guy. And I wanted to be different. I know, that's why when you go to the store, there's like 7,000 pair of those things, so everybody in the world can be different. You want to be, if you really want to be different, you really want to be different, live like a Christian. You'll be so different, it won't be an issue. But most of you don't have the guts to do that. Conform to the world, pressed into the world's mold. What we want to be is transformed, metamorphosized, changed. Metamorphosis is a change on the is a change on the inside that is revealed on the outside. That's what God wants us to be. You see, we have no conviction, so we stand for nothing. We want to be just like everybody else. We don't want to rock the boat. So we're afraid to stand up. I read a story about Nikita Khrushchev, the former Russian leader. And after Stalin had died, they were in their parliament, and they were all arguing. And he got up in front of their parliament and was ripping Stalin for his murderous reign and saying that, you know, he was saying, where were you guys? How come nobody was doing about this when Stalin was in power? We should have been standing up to him. And somebody sent a note down to him from the people that were listening. And he opened the note, and it said, what were you doing when this was going on? And he looked at the note, and he goes, who wrote this note? He goes, I'm giving you 1 minute to get down here right now. And he stood there for a minute, and nobody came down. He finally looked at the note. He goes, I'm going to tell you what I was doing while this was going on. Exactly what you just did, nothing. And that's how most Christians are. We gripe about things, but we don't have the guts to stand up and say, you know, that's wrong. Why don't we just be different? Why don't we just say, and not just to be, you know, now some people want to be different just to be different. No, let's just be like God wants us to be, and you'll be different. The world will notice you. Say, hey, there's something different going on there. But we want to be like everybody else, and we have no backbone. Letter E, we gain hope for the future. We gain hope for the future. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world before we were saved. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Before we were saved, things were bad. Now that we were saved, we now have a hope. Okay? Well, what was the best hope we had before we were saved? To gain everything the world says we should have? Most people that have that are empty inside. Because the things of the world were never meant to satisfy. We think they will satisfy us. But really, that's only something God can do. Whenever we try to plug something in there that's not God, and we try to get from something that which only comes from God, we're frustrated. And you'll have no hope. But when we got saved, we now have hope. We must hurry. Letter F, we gain a closeness to God. A closeness to God. Psalms chapter 42, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God, when I shall come and appear before God. I like that phrase, the living God. When we get in the Word of God, we draw closer to our Lord. A survey ask people who do read their Bible, 93% of them who have read their Bible said it helped them feel closer to God. Why? Because he's talking to us. How can we feel close to God if we never talk to him and he never talks to us? Okay? That's like living in a house with your children and never saying a word to them. Never talking, never letting them talk to you, never spending any time. Well, of course you're not going to be close to them. The same is true of God. Sometimes the reason we have a hard time listening to God is because we allow that distance to come. There's a distance. It's like in years ago when we used to, every year we'd go to Washington for vacation. So you get out in the middle of nowhere and I'm driving. Maybe it's the middle of the night because we drive straight through and I get tired. And so I'm like, you know, oh, I'm going to listen to the radio. And you get listening to something interesting, but what would happen? The more I'm driving, the farther away I would get from the radio station. I remember years and years ago, we left, and man, I was tired, and I flipped the radio station on, and of all things, I got once it was a Dodger game, so I put the Dodger game on. It just so happens that particular game they went 22 innings, and I turned it on in the 13th inning, but as I drove, it was getting harder and harder to hear. And towards the end there, I barely heard when it ended. Why? I was driving away from the radio station. And the farther I got away from their signal, the harder it was to hear. You know how come we have a hard time listening to God? Because we're getting farther and farther away from him. And the farther away, I can't hear you, God. It's not that he's moved. It's that we've moved away from him. Say, so how do I get that closeness back? Spend some time with him. Draw close to him. Get in his word. Communication is a key for every relationship, and it's true of God. And the last thing is this: we gain faith for living. We gain faith for living. Faith is important. We've mentioned it in a recent message. Romans chapter 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The word of God. Oh, brother, have faith. You can't have faith if you're not in God's word. Faith is strengthened, and faith comes from our time in the Word of God. Why is that important? Because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. How do we get the faith to please God? Well, the first thing you need to do is get in the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more we're in the Word of God, the more our faith is strengthened, and the more we can honor and please God in our life. I hope you're going to get in these few weeks we talk about the Bible that it's not just something we carry to church. Okay, it's not like, I got to get my keys and I got to get my wallet, which has no money in it, and I got to get, you know, this, and let me grab my Bible, and some of you guys with tight pants, let me get my purse, whatever. Just kidding. Throw that in. It's like, no. By the way, do you know Satan's not afraid of if you carry the Bible? Ah, Satan, I got a Bible. So that's nice. It's black. Oh, good. Just like your heart. Just kidding. But I'm saying, let's not just carry it. Let it be a vital, living, daily part of our lives. We'll be the dynamic Christian God wants us to be. Let's pray.